Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
A young gunman shot and killed former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe last Friday with a homemade gun. The assassination, an event so rare in Japan, it's almost hard to describe, sent shockwaves around the world, and that includes here in Boston, where Abe had been engaged with the Boston Global Forum, and where we pride ourselves on our own gun laws, as Japan does. Former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, who signed the Commonwealth's assault weapons ban into law in 1989, helped found the Boston Global Forum.
Well, it wasn't just me, obviously. There were a group of people here in the Boston area who were very interested in foreign policy. I was one of them, but there were many. And we decided that this would be a good way to involve the Boston community actively in international affairs and important issues.
And as part of that work, the BGF decided to honor one world leader every year with its World Leaders Award for Peace and Security. And that first award, Shinzo Abe, in 2015. Dukakis joined us on the line this morning to reflect on Abe's assassination, and he started by talking about that moment in 2015.
He was the first person that we decided to honor with our annual award for peace and security.
Did he engage then with the forum after
he
that?
He did indeed. He did indeed. Became an important part of what we've been doing. And that makes his death even more tragic, because his willingness to be a part of what we were doing and to involve and engage and really become a major force internationally in the effort to build a peaceful world and a more stable world, was really an important part of what got us going.
So, as you know, one of the more striking aspects of this assassination is the fact that it was with a gun. And gun deaths are incredibly rare in Japan. According to the New York Times, since 2017, there have been only 14 gun-related deaths in the entire country. You know, the shooter used a handmade shotgun.
Homemade gun. I mean, how do you make a gun? and to do that, and I don't want to be critical of the Japanese on this, but as you look at the pictures of him and what happened and the actual assassination, it was clear that there seemed to be no security people around him or alert. Maybe I'm being unfair about this, but he was very much, you know, kind of like Mike Dukakis going out to a town in Massachusetts and having a meeting.
So you would say that the kind of security you could see in the videos that we've seen of the assassination was kind of comparable to what you would have had going about your daily business as the governor of Massachusetts?
I never had security.
Well, there you go. So even more than you had.
Not until I ran for the presidency. And then at some point, I think I was the last candidate for the presidency to say yes, but toward the end of the primary, I think it was, I finally said, okay. I never liked it. I loved the freedom that I had as governor of Massachusetts and my ability to go where I wanted to go and ride the T and do whatever I wanted to do.
Do you think that would be the case today? I'm mindful, for example, we talked about 14 gun-related deaths in Japan since 17. In 2020 alone, there were 19,000 firearm homicides in the U.S. Do you think if you were governor today, you could feel comfortable being as unfettered as you were then?
In Boston, yes, because we happen to have the lowest homicide rate in America, with the possible exception of Honolulu. And I don't know that enough people in Massachusetts understand this. I think during the first 6 months of this year, we've had a total of 7 homicides. Compare that with what's happening in the rest of the country. How come we're experiencing that here? Well, it has a lot to do with, frankly, terrific, well-trained police officers who have been part of a community policing program for years in this state. And even then, I don't think enough Massachusetts people really know just how fortunate we are and how important it is that we continue that and continue to have excellent police forces and police officers.
And I know that you're proud in terms of your leadership here in Massachusetts on guns. For example, you signed an assault weapon ban as governor in 1989. Why do you think our laws, our gun laws, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this next, but why do you think our gun laws work so well in Massachusetts?
Because we have excellent, highly trained police officers who believe in community policing, in this sense that there's real respect between the communities and their police. And I think that's true almost across the state in virtually every community.
Even though we saw those protests, for example, in 2020, Governor, after the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis?
Well, that's true, but we never lost that edge here. We never lost this commitment to what I've referred to as community policing.
So you credit community policing with the level of gun safety that we have here.
No question.
Well, it makes me want to ask you. So, of course, the Supreme Court strikes down a New York State law that requires gun owners to show proper cause in order to be allowed to carry a handgun outside the home. In Massachusetts, it was the case that police chiefs required a good reason to issue a permit for a handgun in cities and towns around Massachusetts. The result of the Supreme Court ruling last Friday, Maura Healey, Attorney General, instructs police chiefs in the state that they can no longer require an applicant to show good reason. Are you worried that, you emphasize community policing, but given the ruling of the Supreme Court, are you worried about safety because of the effect on Massachusetts' current sort of regime around gun ownership?
Very much so. That's a terrible decision. I don't know what these six judges are thinking about. And by the way, they ought to read the Second Amendment a lot more carefully, apparently, than they have. Because the Second Amendment does not give one a right to walk around with a gun. There's language in there involving a well-regulated militia. What do they think that meant?
Governor, what do you think a well-regulated militia meant?
I think essentially, in modern terms, the National Guard. But, that was in 1776, for heaven's sake. You know, we're talking about AK-15s, we're talking about assault weapons, we're talking about gun magazines with dozens and dozens of bullets. I mean, aren't they aware of this? And why would six of these folks, I don't care who they are, where they come from, why would they ever hand down this decision? It's just shocking.
So what, if anything, should the legislature or the governor here do now in response, Governor Dukakis?
Well, they're working at it and doing the best they can to find their way through this terrible decision. So we'll just have to do everything we can to make it possible for us to continue to maintain what is, at least in the United States, an extraordinary record.
Former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Stay with us. There is more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.